What? It's not normal to say it's all about the kids? That's what I said. I don't know. Tani said it's not normal, but it's all about the kids.
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Consciously, family, welcome back. Okay, here we go. What a week it's been. It's been just a whole week. Anyway, I was reminded of a story this week, and it warmed my heart, made me think of my kids, which warms my heart. So I wanted to share it with you and talk to you about it. Just a little vignette, just a piece of a story, really. But before we get there, before we get to the background of that, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. We really enjoy you being here. Mayor made fun of me on my other podcast for saying, give us 5 stars and a review and subscribe. So I'm not going to say that. But if you want to, well, we definitely don't mind. But also do us a favor and share us with your friends. Or do them a favor if you feel like it would be helpful for them. Do me a favor because I like really treasure the privilege of having voice, share whatever's going on in my, my little head. And as we'll talk about today, it's always good to share something that speaks to you. Also, check us out on our website, lightrevealed.org. You can see this podcast cataloged and categorized by theme, but also all the other podcasts that we're doing on Light Revealed, some other stuff. There's a great YouTube page. Definitely check that out. There's a weekly, really more than weekly, series by my friend Ruben Shannon, who's doing stuff related to the Parsha, but also thematic things related to holidays. Some really great stuff, short form. And Joey, of course, is doing some of his things. So that's always great. Lastly, if you want to get in touch with us, connect, ask a question, just say hello. You can reach us, lightrevealed@tlrfamily.org, or on Instagram or Facebook at Menachem Puz or the Light Revealed. Light Revealed best, but Menachem Puz is okay too. Okay, I think that's all the things. Okay, so believing in your kids. So there's a story, it's a beautiful story, about the Rebbe Rayatz, who is the Rebbe Yitzchak Schneerson, the 6th Rebbe of Chabad, the father-in-law of the Rebbe. Anyway, remarkable story of his life, and particularly what he went through and his journey through facing the challenges that came along with the communist revolution in Russia and the way in which they really tortured him and just gave him quite a hard time, even tried to kill him or, you know, conspired to assassinate him. And ultimately, his savior from his being saved from communist Russia, really being exiled out of Russia, where he was trying to stay so he could bring Torah and light to so many, you know, in the face of deep darkness. That's why he was number one, public enemy number one for the communists. And anyway, so there's a number of really remarkable stories about the whole episode that led to the Rayatz's arrest and then subsequent release, first sentenced to exile in Siberia and then ultimately exiled out of Russia completely, so to speak, free to Eastern Europe to run from the Nazis, ultimately to end up at some point passing through Eretz Yisrael, which is a whole interesting topic, but then also ultimately settling in Brooklyn. Okay, so there's this little episode that happens along the way where the Rayatz is being, you know, let out, kicked out of Russia, so to speak, and he's allowed to take certain things, certain, you know, valuables, heirlooms, which were all like mechtavim, like writings of his forebears and different kind of things that had been left over, but also his family, the right to get his family out of Russia. And at the time of this whole episode, the Rebbe was actually engaged to the Rebbetzin, right? The Rebbe and the Rebbetzin had not been married yet. They were engaged, actually had a lengthy engagement, and they were still engaged. But the Rebbe was still kind of operating within the court of his father-in-law to some degree, though he was somewhat mysterious and not as well known. There's some really great books that go through some of the history of that. It's all very, very kind of mysterious. But nonetheless, the Friedrich Rebbe was listing all of his immediate family members who would then be given visas to be able to leave Russia. And one of the people he lists is his son-in-law, Menachem Mendel Schneerson. So the Russian official turns to him and says, listen, we see your kids here, but you don't need to get your son-in-law out. You know, you'll find a different son-in-law. Like, meaning they're not married yet, so they'll find a different son-in-law. And, you know, this is a very, without putting context to this story, it's really hard to, like, get the fullness of it. But, like the Ryatz was, like lucky, so to speak, or fortunate, or with great miracles. He was alive, even. He was being, you know, he was being saved from heading to Siberia. The American president at the time literally intervened on his behalf, trying to compel the Russian authorities to not execute him and to get him out, so to speak. So, you know, there's a lot of Mesiras Nefesh in each aspect of what he was trying to do. So, you know, here they're trying to, you know, get the Rebbe out of Russia, and the Rebbe was a young man. You know, maybe they could have found other back channels to get the Rebbe out. But nonetheless, the Rebbe Ryatz was extremely insistent that the Rebbe, you know, leave, which has to do to some degree with his Ruach HaKodesh, perhaps, that he knew that this was so critical. But he turns to the Russian official and he said a beautiful line. He said, a son-in-law like this, I cannot find anywhere. Which is, you know, there's a lot to be said about the story. In general, stories of tzaddikim are interesting. You know, the tzaddikim themselves reveal to us that, you know, there's a reason that certain episodes or stories are kind of passed down amongst Hasidim or amongst Jews, because the stories are not so much a history, but a reflection of an idea. So, like this little, you know, vignette of a story of the Friedrich Rebbe, you know, just with self-sacrifice and tremendous courage, saying, no, I can't leave without my son-in-law, because a son-in-law like this I can't find elsewhere. Clearly it, like, reveals the Ruach HaKodesh of the Ryatz in the sense that he saw. I mean, we all know the greatness of the Rebbe, right? You know, the genius of the Rebbe, the innovation of the Rebbe, it's not even adjectives are not, like, silly, right? But it's obvious to anybody who looks, you know, in this juncture of history to look back and see, like, okay, the Ryatz understood that there was no one like, you know, that this was an utterly unique thing, you know. And also, you know, we know that the Rebbe was great. But aside from that piece of it, which is for sure true, one, that the Ryatz had a Ruach HaKodesh, what the Rebbe would be, and also that the Rebbe was, you know, really a remarkable, unbelievable person, right? But what's the message we can take for that? You know, one of the principles that the Rebbe himself teaches, there's an interesting story about the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe of Lubavitch, and his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. You see, the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek had a very unique relationship, because the Tzemach Tzedek's mother died when he was a very young boy, and the Alter Rebbe, who was his grandfather, for all intents and purposes, raised him. And, you know, Tzemach Tzedek had very interesting access. And because of that, there's things we know about kind of like the private, so to speak, life, the private avoda of the Alter Rebbe that normally we wouldn't really have had access to. And there's a story, I won't go into the entirety of it, but there's a story that the Tzemach Tzedek would say over, or told over, that when the Alter Rebbe was under his talis, when he was under his talis by Birchas Kohanim, that he would say a certain prayer to God. And to paraphrase, the intention of the prayer was basically a supplication to God, saying, God, I don't want any of the benefits, both material and spiritual, that there are in the world. I don't want heaven. I don't want the lower heaven. I don't want the upper heaven. All I want is you. Right? That really the only type of spiritual sustenance, abundance, reward that it would ever want is just the privilege of being in connection with you, the allure of some kind of, you know, heaven above or later, some world to come is not at all what I want. All I want is to be present with you. Very nice. So that's obviously a very high level, you know, of spiritual fulfillment and self-sacrifice, to not even care about the schar, the reward that comes along with right action. Like even if you were thinking about it rationally, like kind of like the outcomes of doing good things, you know, that you do good things come to you. The Alter Rebbe is saying, like, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. I have no intention. I have no motive here except the privilege of being connected, to being close to you, to bringing you nachas ruach. Okay, that's a very high level. The Rebbe says something very interesting. The Rebbe says that if the Tzemach Tzedek revealed this story about the Alter Rebbe, the function of the story is not only or so much to reveal the great level of the Alter Rebbe or the sincerity and sweetness of that prayer. That's not the reason why. That's not what we take from it. It's nice to know that. It's meaningful, like in the story of the Rayatz and the Rebbe. Like, it's nice to know that the Rayatz saw the greatness of the Rebbe, and it's nice to know that the Rebbe had that, and that the Rebbe was great, and that there was a miracle. Those are all nice things. But the Rebbe says, like, the significance of the fact that the Tzemach Tzedek told us that is because it was a way in which the Tzemach Tzedek was communicating to us that that type of relationship with God is open for everybody. That even though there were times in history when that kind of like intimacy with God was really reserved for people at the highest level of spiritual fulfillment, people that were able to like abandon with self-sacrifice, you know, everything they wanted, right, just for the sake of having God alone. That was something maybe of a Navi or something. But, and for the rest of us, it's just, you know, we're operating on a different level. It's schar v'onish, right? Meaning this idea of reward and punishment, right? That I do the right thing and that this world is a chamber that's leading to the next world. And if I behave well in this world, I'll receive what I get in the next world. And this whole idea of abandoning that is really that's something for the initiated elite. What the Tzemach Tzedek was revealing was that no, in our generation at this time, this is really the spirituality that we're meant to seek. That the fixation and the focus on what I get out of it is not really our avoda, but rather our avoda is really to engage God, as we talked about many times in the podcast, for free and for fun. Okay, so that's a beautiful message. It's wonderful. I've mentioned it before here on the podcast. So the question that I wanted to think about was like, what is this story about the Rayatz and the Rebbe and the Russian official teach us? What's the message? Why are we getting that story? Why are we receiving that story? What are we supposed to take from it? So before we get to that, I want to talk about a different teaching in a different area of Chassidus. Really, not a different area of Chassidus, as we'll see, but sometimes something that's sometimes, I guess, associated as coming from a different place. And that's in the 36th teaching of Likutei Maharan Tinyana, Tinyana Lamed Zayin. It's a beautiful teaching over there. And I'm not going to get into the teaching because that's not what we do here on the podcast, but just the themes, at least, that I drew out of it. And in that teaching, Rabbi Nachman says a very, very powerful thing. That's actually very related to this. These are some of these ideas that we were just talking about. So Rabbi Nachman teaches there that there's basically two primary ways or motives that a person has for engaging this world. There's two primary reasons why someone engages this world. There's a person that's trying to acquire Olam Hazeh. He's trying to acquire the abundance of this world. And then there's a person who's obviously operating in a more spiritual mindset whose intention is to acquire the abundance of the world to come. There's Olam Hazeh, and there's Olam Haba. And all this is based on Psukim in Tehillim and a way in which Rabbi and David HaMelech in Tehillim is talking about his own spiritual journey. And Rabbi Nachman says that in a certain way, both of those people, right, the person who's trying to acquire Olam Hazeh, right, the person who's trying to acquire this worldliness, material reality, material abundance, and the person who's trying to acquire spiritual abundance, they're really, in many ways, the same thing. They're just trying to fill their bellies, right? One person's trying to fill their belly with material abundance, and the other one's trying to fill their belly with spiritual abundance. But there's a certain connection between the two. But Rabbi Nachman explains that David HaMelech, there's a third path, one could say like a Shvil Min Hatzada, a path on the side. And the path on the side, the Shvil Min Hatzad of David HaMelech, is where the person, similar to the story of the Alter Rebbe, the person, an individual, a tzaddik, the tzaddik inside of a person, that part of a person that's a tzaddik, right? Because we all have different parts, right? So really, every time we're like learning Rabbi Nachman, it's often useful to like look at things, I think, and throughout all of Chassidus, but particularly in the Likutei Maharan, if we're trying to look at it, at least through the lens that I tend to look at it, you know, it's talking about the entirety of the world of a person. So there's different parts of me. There's a part of me that wants to acquire this world, and there's a part of me that wants to acquire the world to come, but those parts are just trying to fill their belly, trying to get their fill. But there's another part of us, the tzaddik part of us, that really only wants connection, really only wants to fulfill God's intention, to be whatever vision God had of who they would be when he created them. As Rabbi Nachman famously says, and it's often quoted, that really a person's birthday, the celebration of a person's birthday, is a day that God decided that the world could no longer survive without them. And this path of David HaMelech, of that part of us, is really a path where the person is not fixated on what am I going to get out of it, but rather the fulfillment of that missionhood, to be the vision that God had for him. But Rabbi Nachman poses a question, what about when a person feels like that's too much, it's too high? Right, going back to what the Rebbe was saying before, you know, like, okay, so the Tzemach Tzedek taught us that story about the Alter Rebbe, and clearly the Alter Rebbe was, in his prayer, was connecting to that bechina, that aspect of the tzaddik that Rabbi Nachman refers to, that reveals that David HaMelech was referring to, right? So, but what if a person feels like, you know, and that the Tzemach Tzedek was revealing that to us, because really that's part of our avoda. But what if a person feels like, I can't surrender to that degree. I can't abandon the joy of this world and the abundance of the world to come. It's a nice idea. I like it. It's spiritual. It makes me feel good. It's nice to like conceptualize a for free and for fun relationship with God where I don't want to get anything from him. I'm not trying to get anything. I don't have any angle. I'm not trying to fill my belly. But if I'm being like authentic and honest, you know, I might aspire to have that level of David HaMelech of the Tzaddik, but in actuality, there's a part of me, at the very least, that wants to get what's coming to me, wants to get what I'm owed, wants to experience this world and to experience the world to come, wants to reap the benefits of the good deeds that we're doing. So what does that person do? How do I bring this light of the Tzaddik, of that level of the Tzaddik, right, into my life where I can just engage God for free and for fun? And Rabbi Nachman reveals a remarkable thing. He reveals that the more balanced path that allows a measure of aspiration for the beauty of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, but also a certain for free and for fun relationship with God, is children. Is the bechina of children. Now, I think it's important to realize that anytime we talk about children, for sure in the writings of Chazal, that includes people that you're teaching, right? Your students are considered your children. Children even have in halacha, right? In Jewish law, there's an idea that Jewish children have to respect their teachers in the same way in which they respect their parents. So when we talk about children, we're not just talking about, I mean, we're talking about our children, but we're also talking about the people that we have the privilege to be mashpia upon, students, people that we invest in, you know, for those of us who have the privilege to have people working under us, the people that we have the opportunity to guide and direct, for those who are in recovery and they have a sponsee or somebody who's newer in recovery, right? Like one of the principles in recovery is that the guy who comes in 10 days in, his sponsor says to him, why aren't you sharing at the meeting? Like, you know, you should raise your hand and share something. You have things to say. And the guy was like, well, I have 10 days. What am I going to share? He says, yeah, but there's a guy in the room with 1 day. And it could be that everything you're going to say, which is not really true totally, but that's kind of the classic line. It could be that everything you're going to say has nothing for anybody else in the room, but the guy who has 1 day, your message might be much more valuable to him than the guy who has 20 years, who's like in a totally different place. Maybe meaning he can relate to you. So each one of us, without knowing, is constantly being mashpia upon others. There's even, you know, circumstances in my own life. I remember, you know, one person told me that I met him after many, many years, and I didn't even realize, and he just told me that I was like in a certain environment and I was wearing my yarmulke, and that gave him a certain courage to like say that he was a Jew. You know, like, well, it's pretentious to tell that story, but whatever. We're amongst friends, right? So, like, it was a very impactful moment in my life. I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast here, but it really transformed my perspective. That, like, in many ways, like, we're constantly teaching others. People are watching us, and we have the opportunity to give. So that's all a bechina, an aspect of children. So Rabbi Nachman says that the key toward living a for free and fun relationship with God, right, which is that aspect of David HaMelech, which correlates to the story of the Alter Rebbe, the key is a willingness to leave over a nachla, a portion, for your children with no benefit to you, right, which is the idea, he's kind of connecting with the spiritual idea of leaving over an inheritance, a parent leaving over an inheritance when they die, because they don't have a benefit from that, right, which is the power of self-sacrifice. And Rabbi Nachman even says that in a person's machshava, in a person's thoughts, they should think about their children, and they should say to God, God, even though I'm doing this for, you know, I want to have good abundance in my life, material, spiritual, I want to be connected with you, but at the end of the day, whatever schar, whatever reward I'm going to get, I want to leave over a portion for my children that I don't get any benefit from, just leave it for them. And Rabbi Nachman says when a person does this, right, I guess because of the nature of the relationship between a parent and a child, between a mashpia and a makabel, when you leave over what you are quote-unquote owed to whoever comes next, sharing of your own abundance, it begins to plant a seed of for free and for fun down here in this world, which then opens the door to a for free for and fun relationship with God. It's a beautiful idea. So this is like the unique nature of our relationship with our children. Right? For those of us who are currently in that state, right? Some of my dearest friends, like momish, dearest people in the world, had children in the last month. So I'm definitely thinking of them, right? So, but the beauty of having children, of having students, of being mashpia upon others, is that it opens the door for you to practice a for free and for fun orientation. Right? Meaning the beauty of children is the way in which we can embrace them without regard for ourselves. And as we practice that, spiritually and materially, it, so to speak, exercises a muscle of for free and for fun inside of us that allows us to engage a relationship with God that is for free and for fun. Okay, so that's the teaching of Rabbi Nachman. It's beautiful, it's very practical, it really brings the story of the Alter Rebbe and this message of David HaMelech to light, and it's a very practical suggestion that as a person's doing the right thing, and of course, being honest and authentic, realizes, like, there's a part of me, in that part of me that wants to receive the benefit, like, consciously, or, excuse the pun, right, or intentionally say, God, you know what, take a portion of what's coming to me, of what I'm owed, so to speak, and leave that over for somebody else. Leave that over for the one that I care about, for those that I have the opportunity to mashpia. They won't even know. It won't even be connected. I won't be able to perceive it. But I know and you know that it's not about, like, what I'm getting, but rather I want to leave over a portion to celebrate this idea that it's not really about me. And as I do that, I open the door to this for free and for fun relationship with God. Okay, so what can we learn from the story? That's the question. What can we learn from the story of the Friedrich Rebbe, which as he's known, the previous Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe of Chabad, the Rebbe Riatz, saying to the Russian official, a son-in-law like this, I could not find anywhere. And I think part of what we can take from that is very connected to this teaching, that in order to practice the capacity to be Moser Nefesh for our kids, right? The Mesiras Nefesh in the story, the Mesiras Nefesh of the Friedrich Rebbe insisting on the Rebbe coming out and in the teaching of Rabbi Nachman, the Mesiras Nefesh of saying, God, don't give me all of everything I'm owed. Take off a little portion and leave it for my kids, a nachla for my kids. In order to be Meiser Nefesh, we have to see our kids in that way. A son-in-law like this, I could not find anywhere. Like, that's how a tzaddik sees his kids, all the way to Mesiras Nefesh. Like, my life doesn't matter because a son-in-law like this, I couldn't find anywhere. The beauty of the story, you see, is that, and I recently acquired a son-in-law, so it's like it's close to my heart. You see, a son-in-law, it's like an interesting, I'm learning, it's an interesting parent-child relationship because, like, they're not physically your children, not biologically your children. They're married to your children, and they're building a home, and they're, like, become your child, and they're also an extension of your child. And, like, there's a certain part of your child, and one of the uniquenesses, I think, of the relationship with an in-law, is a certain part of your child, like, the Mesiras Nefesh for your child is different because it comes natural to you because, like, there's a natural, like, evolutionary protective thing. Like, it's, like, in the suggestion of Rabbi Nachman, like, it's easier for me to practice for free and for fun with my kids because they're part of me. So it's, like, almost comes easy to me. So if I practice it with my kids, so then I can start to build that muscle and apply it in other places. But the uniqueness of the son-in-law thing is, like, first of all, and the Rebbe's not even his son-in-law yet, so to speak. The Rebbe's only engaged, right? He's not in that bechina. But the beauty is the way in which the Rebbe Rayatz opened his heart to the Rebbe, right, and said, a son-in-law like this I couldn't find anywhere else. And that's something that goes so deep that it's like, my life doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. A son-in-law like this I couldn't find anywhere. And it's not so much, if you're more cynical minded, saying, oh, it's because the Rebbe was so great, or it's because the Rebbe Rayatz had Ruach HaKodesh. For sure those things are true. But if that was the case, the story would have no value for us, and it wouldn't be passed down, and we'd have no access to it. The reason, what the Rebbe reveals, the reason why we have access to that is because we have that available to us. And the message that we can take is that if you want to know what it's like to love your kids, and if you want to open the door to a free and for fun relationship, you have to begin to see your kids, to see those who have the merit to be mashpia on, even when it doesn't come ultimately natural, as if, like, someone like this I could never find anywhere else. Like, this is the only one. This is who I meant to be with. This is who I meant to have a relationship with. This is who I am destined to be mashpia to. Right? Like, when a sponsor in recovery is sponsoring somebody, taking them through the 12 steps, like, it's not like, okay, this is a sponsee. This is the sponsee. This is why I got sober. This is why I came to recovery. God brought me to recovery so that I could help this person. This is the person I'm supposed to help. Or a Rebbe to a Talmud, a teacher to a student, and for sure a parent to a child. This is my destiny, to be this child's parent. And that attitude doesn't always come. It's a nice sentiment, but it doesn't always come so easily. But what the story is revealing, or Rabbi Nachman's revealing, is that leaning into that has the capacity to open our hearts to a David HaMelech, right, Mashiach, to a Mashiach type of relationship with God. That's the idea. That's my idea this week. Wishing you the best and much love.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed, a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipporah Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.